Now,
the rose color is just a little bit.
Yeah. Mem, Hayam, and Aleph. That's what we were working on yesterday. And I want to go over it again, not the entire sugya, but part of the sugya, because I realized that I missed at least one important point, and maybe even two. So let's see where we can pick this up. The Gemara records a suffek of Reish Lakish regarding the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And that suffek had two cases. One was chitim shezoron bekarka, and the other was beitzim shetachas atarnegolis. And this you'll see approximately 10 lines down from the top of the Amud on Daf Mem Hayim and Aleph. Now, the Gemara records Rabbi Yochanan's response to Reish Lakish, and his response was Ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon el shemen shebiner b'shashu dolik. Now, Tosfos Dibra Maskil Ella is bothered by the following question. Why did Rabbi Yochanan mention the case of Shemen Shebener? While that's true, that Shemen Shebener is Asur, even according to Rabbi Shimon, calls Manshu Dolek, but there would have been a more appropriate and a more accurate analogy had Rabbi Yochanan quoted a different case in which Rabbi Shimon is Moda. That's the case of Grogos Vitzimukin, which is a sugya on the bottom of our daf, in the name of Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Shmuel, says, Ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon el grogos v'tzimukim bilvad. That's about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. So we're looking at two gemaras here, 10 lines up, down from the top of the page, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. And in both cases, the gemara is analyzing the shita of Rabbi Shimon, and in what circumstances, what situations does Rabbi Shimon agree that there's an isur muktzah? In the first one on top, we have the case of Ner Kolzman Shudolik. In the last case, we have Grogos Vitzimukim. Now, when we discuss Chitim Shezorim Bekarka, Beitzim Shel Shetach Satanagolis, Tosis argues that it would have been more of an appropriate analogy had Rabbi Yochanan mentioned the case of Grogos Vitzimukim. And the reason for that is because when he puts the chitim into the ground for the purpose of their taking root, or the beitza under the tarnagolas for the purpose of developing an afroach, that's a parallel case to Grogos Vitzimukim. And what's the link that makes that analogy solid? Dechiyah b'yadayim. When a person actively on Erev Shabbos puts something away, even though now it's Roy Lachila, you know, the chitim could be eaten, the beitza could be eaten, and the grogros right now are grapes, they're edible, but he puts it away. And if he puts it away in such a situation that it's out of mind for Shabbos, then Rabbi Shimon would say, let's analyze that case and see, maybe that's muktzah because of the dechiyah b'yadayim, because he put it away, he actively put it away. And Rabbi Yochanan should have stepped up to the plate and said, well, wait a minute, in Grogos Vitzimukim, he knows that immediately it's going to start becoming sour, and it's no longer edible, and yet he deliberately put it away. But maybe in the case of chitim, where the process of hashrosh is a very long process of hashrosh, it's not like immediately all of a sudden the chitim start rotting away. There he still has in mind, again, when I say in mind, I don't mean that literally, I mean halachically, it's in mind that it's still edible, and therefore that's not called dechiyah b'yadayim. Case of beitza, until the beitza develops as an afroch, will take a certain period of time. Whereas the case of Grogus v'Tzimukim, it's pretty much immediate. The sun starts beating down and it gets sour. And that would have been a perfect analogy. Now, Tosus offers absolutely no answer to this question. The Ritva comes along and he says that the superior analogy is that of Rabbi Yochanan, to the case of Ner Dolek. And why is that so? So the Ritva adds another element into the equation which I wasn't aware of. And that is that the situation of the Chitim is such that if the Chitim are allowed to remain where they are and they become Mushrashim, after that we have an Isur of Ktsira by removing these Chitim. And in that sense, when he lights the Ner and Erev Shabbos, that's a perfect parallel to the case of Chitim. Why? In both cases, there should be an element here of Muktzah Machmas Isur. He puts away something which will become awesome. So let's say, for example, Shabbos starts at 4. So at 5 to 4, he lights the candle. 5 minutes later, the Shemen becomes Asur because of the Isur Kibbutz. In the case of Chitim, again, it's a longer process, but nevertheless, eventually, the Chitim will become Asur. So that Rabbi Yochanan's analogy, says the Ritva, is a perfect analogy. Now, Ben, if you have footnote number Yudalit, which we saw yesterday, but I want to see it one more time, and that's what's called Mem Heim and Aleph number Aleph. You know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So, you footnote Yudalit, he quotes the Ritva, and he says, this is line 5 in that footnote, Kevan Shetam Ha'isu Shalachitim Vabetzim, Hu Ketam Ha'isu Shalashemin Shebener. I would underline that line, because that's the punchline here, the Ritva. I can't do it because this belongs to the yeshiva. He says the following. In the case of Shemen Shebener, he's prohibited from taking part of the Shemen because of the Isur Kibui. And Reish Lakish thought that I have a perfect analogy, since Reb Shimon accepts Muktz in the case of Shemen Shebener, calls Manchu Dolek, to Chitim v'Beitzim, when he takes the chita and he puts it into the ground, he intends to generate an isur. Why? Because sovar shachitim yashrishu. And once the chita takes shashrasha, then there's an isur of ktsira. If you remove, that's called oker dov migidula, if you take something out of its growth. Now that part I don't understand too well, to be absolutely honest with you. I understand the literal translation here and what's going on in the Metzius, but I don't understand exactly why that's called Yesh Lesar Sachitim Shebamaseihu Hu Miskavin Li Osram. I don't know what he means by Li Osram in the case of Efrochim. I know that Efrochim are Osur Betiltal because of Muktzah, but I don't think that's what the Ritva has in mind. So again, there's a little bit of a gap here, which I don't understand the case of Beitzim. I do.
They're supposed to become chicks.
For why is that? Why does that generate some sort of Isur? What Isur? Are we talking about Seidah? No, again, keep in mind, Nolad is a form of Muktzah. He's saying that what generates the Muktzah is the fact, what you see, that's what I don't know. Maybe Shmuel, I would take what you said and also Ben what you're saying and just add the following. In order to eat the Efrochim, he's got to do what? Shechita. And Shechita you can't do on Shabbos. So maybe in the same way that the Ner, you can't enjoy the benefit of the Shemen because you're causing the extinguishing of the Ner. And in the case of Chitim, once they take Ashrasha, you can't enjoy the benefit of the Chitim on Shabbos because of the Meleches Ktsira. So too in the case of Beitza, once it develops as an Efroach, he can no longer enjoy that on Shabbos because he needs Shchit in order to be Matir the Efroach. I don't know. The Ritva doesn't spell it out, at least not here. Maybe if we looked into the Ritva, we'd see something better. But what I'm excited about this is this Ritva, is that the Yesod HaYesodos here of Mukta that Rabbi Yochanan is pointing out in Rabbi Shimon's frame of reference is Mukta Machmas Isur. And the chiddush of the Ritva here, which I was unaware of, is that the suffix of Reish Lakish, meaning the tzad in Reish Lakish, the suffix to say that Rabbi Shimon would be moda in these two cases of chitin and beitza, is Mukta Machmas Isur. That was a gvaldige chiddush for me. And I was stuck in the mindset of Tosis. Tosis's mindset was a totally different one than the Ritva. He thought, Tosis, that the whole issue of Chitim and Beitzah has to do with Dechia B'Yadayim. And therefore he thinks that Grogros V'Tzimukim would have been a more appropriate analogy. And why did Rabbi Yochanan veer off to the side, introducing Ner Doleg, which has nothing to do with Dechia B'Yadayim? And that was Tosis. But the Ritva is throwing another element into the equation, that the Ein Muxel of Shimon El Shemin Shebener is a perfect analogy, because Shemin Shebener is the archetype of Muxel Machmas Isur, because Lisa Kibu. And that's what Reish Lakish had in mind here. And again, what Rabbi Yochanan was saying to Reish Lakish is, you're making one mistake here, that even though there is an ultimate Isur down the line, but it's not immediate. In the case of Ner, the moment Shabbos enters, you have already Muktzah Machmas Isur because of Lisa Kivui. That's not true in the case of Chitim. It may take 72 hours until Lash Rosha. And until the egg develops into an Afra, who knows how many days it might take. But that's only half of the story. Now there's a second half of the story. And that's Shmuel. You remember that Shmuel says that Rav Shimon is moda in the case of Grogos V'Tzimukim, correct? So the Ritva asks the following question. When you say, Ein Muktzah l'Rav Shimon el Grogos V'Tzimukim, why are you leaving out Shemin Shebener? In other words, the language of Shmuel is a little bit too extreme. Meaning, let's go back and forth. There's Rabbi Yochanan and the Shmuel. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ein Muktzah l'Rav Shimon ella ner dolk," right? Shemin Shebener kol shman shu dolk. That was an appropriate answer, says the Ritva, to the case of Chitim and Beitza, because what's common in Shemin Shebener to Chitim and Beitza is the Muktzah Machmas Isur category. Therefore, I have no kashas on Rabbi Yochanan. But says the Ritva, I have a kasha on Shmuel. Why did Shmuel drop the ball on Ne'er Kol Zman Shu Dolok? Okay, Grogos V'Tzimukim, fine. But what about Ne'er Kol Zman Shu Dolok? So he says the following, that the Gemara in Shmuel's frame of reference is dealing with a different category of Muktzah. And that's a category of Muktzah where you specify or designate something as Muktzah. And you recall that the Gemara had a whole to-do, which I want to go over again with you, about Muktzah l'mitzvasa, where he designates the sukkah and all that's attached to the sukkah for the mitzvah of sukkah. Comes along Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, and he says, you know what? Rabbi Shimon is moda in the case of Grogros V'Tzimukim. He's not coming to exclude Shemin Shebener. He's coming to generate an equation, an analogy between Grogros V'Tzimukim and the case of Muktzah l'Mitzvasa. He says, "Kevan shalahalon asku b'dvarim shetam isurim eno machmas isur." The Gemara wants to know what's the deal with Rabbi Shimon in case where you designate something in a way that you won't, or you don't intend to use it and to benefit from it for a long time down the line. Would Rabbi Shimon be moda? Comes along Shmuel and he says, no, Ein muksel Reb Shimon el grogos v'tzimukim. Why? Because in the case of grogos v'tzimukim, he puts it aside in such a way that he won't be using it for a long time. Why? Because it's going to take an entire process until it becomes edible. Immediately it becomes sour, and then later on it becomes edible. And if you look in the last four words in the Ritva, he says, V'eino miskavim l'shtamish b'hem. So let's go over this one more time. What the Ritva is saying is that we have two sugyas in Rav Shimon and Mukta. One sugya is called Mukta Machmas Iser, and the other is Mukta Machmas Shedacho Sam V'yichero Sam Shalo Yishtamish b'hem. Shekamenosu shalol ishtamishmen. And there are going to be two question marks about Reb Shimon, which are respectively related to those two categories. And then there'll be two cases, one mentioned by Reb Yochanan and the other by Shmuel, where Reb Shimon will be moded that it's muktzah. Reb Yochanan is talking about Muktzah Machmas Isur, and Shmuel is talking Muktzah Machmas Shehikta Osam V'eino Miskavin L'shtamish Ben Klal. So Reb Yochanan is talking about Muktzah Machmas Isur, therefore he invokes the case of Ner Kol Zman Shu Dolok, where the Isur Kivui comes to play, and that's what generates the Isur Muktzah. And Reb Yochanan is coming to tell you that that's not the same as Chitim, which will only become Asur after Ashrasha down the line, or Beitza, which will only become an Afroach sometime down the line in the future. Just give me one more minute. And then Shmuel comes and says, well, what does Rabbi Shimon say about a case where you designate something and put it aside, indicating that you're not intending to use it for a long time? It has nothing to do with Isur. The Isur factor is completely dropped. So for example, we can talk about Tmarim Shel Iska, right? Where he packages the dates for export. No intention of using them. What would Rav Shimon say about that? We could talk about someone who takes wood and builds a sukkah, someone who takes fruits and beautifies his sukkah with nai peros, whatever peros he uses. So we're talking about things that mitzad atzmam, in and of themselves, they're roi, they're edible, but he's indicated that he has no intention of using them. And here's where Shmuel comes up and he says, no, the only time that Reb Shimon will say that you designated it in such a way that you have no intention of using it is Grogos V'tzimukim. Anything that falls short of Grogos V'tzimukim is not mukt. Not to say that Reb Shimon denies mukt in the case of Ner Dolik. That's a different category of mukt. That's mukt of Machmas Isur. And if Reish Lakish is going to raise the suffix whether or not Chitim and Beitzah is Mukmas Machmas Isur, Reb Yochanan says no, that's not Mukta Machmas Isur. Mukta Machmas Isur means immediately there's an Isur. Then you'll ask another question about Reb Shmuel, about Rabbi Shimon. Forget about Mukta Machmas Isur, but what about Mukta Machmas Shehikta Osam? He designates him Le'ezashi Matara for some purpose which has nothing to do with Shabbos use. It's out of his mind. Out of sight, out of mind. On that, Shmuel answers only Grogos V'tzimukim. Because Grogos V'tzimukim, immediately after he designates it by putting it up on the roof, it's not usable for him. That's the case of Muktzah. But you talk about something where he packages it, but it's still Roy Lachila. You can even talk about the case of Chitim, which is still Roy Lachila. In all those cases, where there's no immediate change in the food in such a way that it's no longer edible, Reb Shimon holds his mut. Yeah, Shmuel.
I think something interesting just happened, and not positive, that if Reb Shimon doesn't hold of Migu, and Muksa doesn't start Erev Shabbat, I think all of the things where, at least the Havaminas, what we're asking, are they Reb Shimon Shita, is something that happened during Shabbat, that's supposed to make something now become mukze on Shabbat?
Well,
because he's not talking about Erev Shabbat, right?
I disagree with you in one point, Shmuel, because if this all took place on Shabbat itself, then you're entering into a whole nother minefield, so to speak, very explosive in the Gemara Beitza.
No, the mukse takes
of mukse l'chatzi Shabbat. So I
So
what did you mean when you said it became mukse on Shabbat?
Your question also includes at the end of Shabbat. Let's say Shalashi, some of the grogots and simukim are okay. Rabbi Shimon may say they come back to mutter.
I don't know. David yesterday said that when towards the end of Shabbos, let's say, it becomes edible, then mukse is removed. I have an open mind about that. I'm not sure he's right.
But the main question,
he may be quoting something that he saw that I don't know about. But again, the issue of migu des katzol ben ashmosh des katzol ben ayom, and why Rav Shimon rejects that principle is very relevant to us. Because obviously, if our goal here in this sugya is to carve out Rabbi Shimon's shita, that's going to have to be a major piece of the puzzle. And I'm hoping we'll get to that even today. But at this point, I got very excited about this Ritva, because what the Ritva did for me was it took two statements of two different amoraim on the same omen in the Gemara that seem to almost be mutually exclusive. Rabbi Yochanan, on the one hand, says, Ein mukzel Rav Shimon ela ner shedole. And Shmuel says, Ein mukzel Rav Shimon ela grogos v'tzimuki. Like, what's going on over here? Is there some sort of machlokas or plukta? According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's only one category of mukzel, and that's that Rav Shimon agrees to, and that's called ner dole. And according to Shmuel, no, there's only one category that Rav Shimon accepts as mukzel, and that's Grogus and Tzimukim. I don't know. It's very uncomfortable. I'm very uncomfortable about this. The Gemara never presents this as a machlokas. But yet the language of the Gemara is as if to say, Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Shimon exclusively has this mukta, and Shmuel says Rabbi Shimon has exclusively this mukta, to the exclusion of every other case. Elo, Ella, blah, 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 blah. What the Ritva, I think, is gaining for us, and that's what I'm really thrilled about, is that the Ritva is saying that each statement about Shmuel was addressing a different question. They weren't coming to exclude one the other. You're asking, would Isur create Mukt? Says Rabbi Yochanan, Isur would create Mukt, according to Rabbi Shimon, but only if the Isur was engendered immediately as Shabbos entered, in the case of Ner Dol. You're talking about an Isur because of Hashrosha that's going to take place who knows when, or the Beisa will become an Afro who knows when. That's not Mutzah Machmas Isur, according to Rav Shimon. Again, we're going to have to rack our brains and figure out why Rabbi Yehuda would say that Chitim and Beisa is Mukt. So that's already another aspect of this Sugya. Then we get to Shmuel. Shmuel's addressing a different question. What happens if a person designates something out of use for Shabbos? Would Rav Shimon agree that since he went ahead and he designated it, that makes it into Mukta? Comes along Shmuel and he answers, no. If you're asking me about something that was placed out of his mind, you know, by designating it for this, the only case that Rav Shimon agrees to is Grogos v'Tzimukim. Anything that falls short of Grogos v'Tzimukim is not going to be Mukta. Even though he took the Tmarim and he designated for export, it's not Mukta going to Rav Shimon. Why? Because it's royal achila. It's not like the case of Grogos and Tzimukim, where immediately, within a short period of time, on Shabbos, it's going to become in a royal achila, and therefore he puts it out of his mind. That's the extreme case where Rav Shimon would be moved that because you put it out of your mind, it's muktzah. And that's very similar to the case of the sukkah, which he designates for the mitzvah of sukkah, so that he puts it out of his mind. This halacha of muktzah mitzvasa. And immediately when the chag enters, this is designated as the sukkah mitzvasa. So if I understand the Ritva, the bottom line is that there are in fact two categories of muktzah which Rav Shimon accepts right here on this daf. One is called Ner Kolzman Shudolik, and the other is called Grogos Tzimukim. Ner Kolzman Shudolik is called Mukse Machmas Isur, and Grogos Tzimukim is Mukse Machmas Dechia B'Yadayim. Now Shmuel is raising another question. Well, what happens if the Sibas HaMukta is removed somewhere midway through Shabbos? For example, the Ner is Nechba, or the Grogus and Tzimuki become Roy Lachila. So in the case of Ner, we understand very well that Rav Shimon holds that there's no din of migu, and if there's no principle of migu that operates here, therefore as soon as the Ner goes out, then he's allowed to enjoy the benefit of the Ner. In the case of Grogus and Tzimuki, I'm a little bit confused, because this might sound technical, but I think that the point that I'm in the dark about, I just simply don't know one way or the other, is what's the mitzias of Grogus v'Tzimuk? What is the physicality of it? At what point, how many hours would it take? Can I anticipate up front that at 4 p.m. on Shabbos afternoon, it's going to be perfectly Grogus v'Tzimuk? You know, these are the raisins I want to serve. I don't know. If you're going to tell me that I can already up front on Erev Shabbos, I can tell you exactly on the clock at what point it's going to become Grogus and Tzimukim, then it's exactly like the Ner Dolik. I can tell you, calculate with scientific precision exactly when the Ner is going to be Dolik, without any other factors. I know how much Shemen is there, I know the rate of consumption of Shemen, I know that at 2 p.m. on Shabbos afternoon, that's it. Except in the case of Ashishas, right? Where we put a vast amount of a volume of oil. Then even Rav Shimon operates with the din of migu, so that even if there's somehow, a guy puts out the candle in the middle of Shabbos or the wind blows, an unusual wind, and I never anticipated this, Rav Shimon is going to agree that still remains mukta. And the reason for that is that you cannot forget about migu right now. You know, it's not a lumpus of migu. It's just the fact that he never had in mind when he was docha v'yadayim this possibility that it might come up.
I think it's about the same. If a person is experienced in oil candle and lamp lighting, or experiencing fruit drying.
Right.
So they have certain expectations.
But I just don't know how long. If, again, it's to me it's irrelevant. I mean, what do I mean it's irrelevant? Meaning, it's either black or white. If you tell me that Grogus and Tzimukim will take 8 hours, then there ain't nothing down. It's like the Shemen that's going to go out. If you can tell me that Grogus and Tzimukim takes a few days, then I'm going to tell you that it's like the Ashishus, in which he doesn't anticipate that it's going to become edible over the course of Shabbos. All of a sudden, a heat wave came and it beat down, so that was unanticipated. But now, let's go back to the sugya of mukta l'mitzvasa. The Gemara understood l'chatchila that when Rabbi Yochanan made his statement, and let's just review the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. He said, "Ein muktzel Rabbi Shimon al Shemen shebener v'shah shehu dolek." And he adds on a piece, "Hoil v'huktzel mitzvaso huktzel isur." And the Gemara understands that to mean that you need both. You need both huktel mitzvaso, and that's the case of Ner Shabbos, that he was madlik Ner Shabbos, and it's huktel isuro because you're not allowed to be machaber the Ner. And if we can piggyback one on top of the other, we have both, then it becomes mukt. What that means is that the Gemara understood now that huktel mitzvaso, independent on its own, would not generate muksa quintribshim. And the Gemara attacks that. The lesle huktel mitzvaso? I mean, what about a case where something was dedicated to a mitzvah and there's no iser involved? And that's going to be the case of sukkah on Chol HaMoed. What do I mean? If it's yontif itself, then there's an iser melecha stira. If he would take the wood from the sukkah and demolish the sukkah as a binyan. That's called Aleches Sosa. But then we get to Chol HaMoed. On Chol HaMoed there is no Easter Sosa. And yet, I can prove to you from the Braisa that Reb Shimon holds that, barring the case of Tanai, but if there was no Tanai in Stoma, then you're not allowed to take any of the parts of the sukkah for yourself, for your own purposes, until after Shmini Shalchak, which includes all of Chol HaMoed. Here's a case where we have Huktzel Mitzvaso without Huktzel Isuro, and if we assume, which again we have to prove, that the author of this Braisa, who says that you're not allowed to take anything from the sukkah until after the 8th day, is Reb Shimon, then I can prove to you that Reb Shimon accepts Huktzel Mitzvos even without Huktzel Isuro. Because on Chol HaMoed there is no Huktzel Isuro, and yet this Braisa assumes that even Kol Chol HaMoed, the entire Yontif, it's also a stopping man.
To take down part of the noise sukkah, isn't that doing something against the mitzvah sukkah itself?
Oh, one second. You started well. Rabbi Kivega says to take down the noise sukkah is not stira.
Yeah,
meaning the walls of the sukkah, maybe even the schach, I don't know, form a binyan, but the fruits, that's not part of the binyan itself. So Rabbi Kivega asks if the Gemara wants to prove that this Mukta case of aimless topic called Shmona Simei Chag is Huktzel Mitzvos without, in the absence of Huktzel Isuro, then Rabbi Kivega argues very well, why do you have to stretch his arm out to Chol HaMoed? Just the very fact that the Braisa says that you're not allowed to take Shkevim, Rimonim, Afarsikim, Yeno, Shmonim, Uslosos, I mean, all these cases are additions to beautify and embellish your sukkah. They're not part of the Guf HaSukkah as a binyan. That's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. So let me show you this inside. Alright, you'll have to find it. Right now I don't want to waste time. So that's Rabbi Kivega's kasha. I don't know, you have to know a lot more about Melechus Binyan, and maybe if you add things to embellish the Binyan, then maybe it does become part of the Binyan. I don't know.
But that's an opinion, because somehow it gets to be part of the Schach.
Maybe it's part of the Schach, therefore it might be part of the Binyan, I don't know. But that's not really my issue for today. My issue for today is that Rabbi Shimon clearly accepts Huktzel Mitzvos even without Huktzel Le'isuro. Okay. So let's read the Braisa. The Braisa says, Sichecha kehilchasa, ve'itra, etc., etc., etc. Also, l'stafik ben ad motzi yontif ha'achron, etc. So the Gemara right away asks, Umimai, how do you know that the author of this Braisa is Rabbi Shimon? Perhaps Rabbi Shimon would allow you to be mistapek and take all these fruits and so forth and use them for your own purposes, because he rejects Muktzel Mitzvaso unless it's Huktzel Isuro. Now again, during Yontif itself, that's not an issue. Clearly, everyone, Kuliyamalo Pligi, can't take something that will be Soser the Binyan Asukah on Yontif. That's a Meleches Yontif. But if you're asking me about Chol HaMoed, then the only thing that you have on a Chol HaMoed is Huktzel LeMitzvah, so you don't have Huktzel Isuro. Maybe Reb Shimon in such a case, the way we understood Reb Yochanan, would allow you to be mistapik, and there's no Isur Huktzel LeMitzvah, so without Huktzel Isuro, we only have the piggyback. So the Gemara says, I know it from a Braisa. And this is the Braisa of Chiya Bar Yosef. What happened here? A notlin eitzim min asukah biyon. Now, it's very easy to read this line in the Braisa and miss the point. In other words, automatically, almost as a knee-jerk response, my mind thought that when it says a notlin eitzim min asukah, we're talking about which holiday? Sukkah. No, that's But that's not true. We're not talking about Sukkos. We're talking about Pesach, and we're talking about Shavuos. And we're not talking about a structure that is miyuad lemitzvah at all. This was made for tzel, simply to grant shade from the protection from the beating hot sun. Oh. So now the Brisa quotes the Tanakhama and then quotes Rav Shimon. The Tanakhama says that during the Chag you're not allowed to take any of the Eitzim from this hut. I'm going to call it a hut, H-U-T, as opposed to a sukkah, just so we know what we're talking about. Because we're not talking about the holiday of Sukkot. Now, wait a second. I don't understand why I need this price, sir. Because we're talking about Meleches Soser, which is prohibited on Yad. That's called Stiras Oel. So the answer is, and this you'll see in Rashi, Dibur Maskel D'Tani, that we're talking about a hut that fell down. It collapsed. Therefore, it's no longer a binyan, and there's no longer an Iser of Soser. So why then is it awesome? And the answer has to be because of Mukta. Now again, it's difficult to talk about Mukta and Mitzvah so here if we're talking about Pesach and Shavuos. There's no Mitzvah of a hut on these days. So we must be talking about Mukta. In other words, since entering into Shabbos, I shouldn't say Shabbos, I should say Yontif, clearly these Eitzim were part of a structure called a Sukkah. They were Mukta. Now the Sukkah fell apart, this hut fell apart. Is he allowed to enjoy the benefits of the Eitzim now? So it says here in this Brisa, Rav Shimon Mati. Now, let me ask you a question. How good was your hut? How sturdy or durable was your hut if it fell down in the middle of Yontif? If you follow what I'm saying, Shavuos time here, and it still gets pretty hot. So you wanted to have shade, and you invited your guests for a good milchika meal of blintzes on Shavuos, and it's hot like whatever. Why? Because your sukkah fell apart. So that's called in the Lashon HaShas a sukkah re'ua, resh ayin vav ayin. This sukkah was not in good shape. I mean, although you could have al huff and al puff, but it wasn't al huff and al puff. It just fell down. Apparently, it wasn't built properly. Maybe he didn't put steel girders in. He didn't put nails in. Therefore, Rav Shimon is mati. Rav Shimon says that Enoch Inami, as long as the sukkah is standing, it's mukzah machmas isur. But once the sukkah falls, you're allowed to enjoy any benefits you want to from these eight. Okay. That's as far as a hut is concerned. So again, let's just review. The Tanakhama, this Brisa, maintains that anything that's part of the structure of the sukkah, even after the sukkah falls down, this hut falls apart, is mukta. Why? Because it was mukta going into Yontif, and therefore it's mukta for the entire Yontif. And if you take a look for a second at Rashi Dibra Masel Tutani, I think you'll see Rashi spells this out. Of course, now I don't find it. Just one second. There it is. Ditani Rabbi Chia, the Chule, Ein Notlin Eitzim B'Pesach V'Atzeres, Misukah Asuya Litzel. So we're talking about a hut. V'Afilu Naflu. You still cannot allowed to take the tree, the wood, and use it for your purposes. Why Mishum Mukta? Diskatsoi Machmas Stiras Oel Beyond. You see, you have to add a few words to Rashi, just to clarify. Rashi means Diskatsoi Bein Hashmashos, entering into Yontif, Machmas Stiras Oel Beyond. Whose sheet is that, Rav Osai?
When we speak, Mishmashot is Rav Yehuda.
It's Rav Yehuda. So this Tanakama of this price is Rav Yehuda. Comes along Rav Shimon, he says, no, if the sukkah of the hut fell down, so now you're allowed to use it. But again, we're gonna have to assume that the hut was in bad shape to begin with. Because otherwise it becomes like the case of Ashishas. Remember the case of Ashishas, where even Rav Shimon was moder, because he didn't anticipate that some wind would come and blow out this massive volume of oil. Here also, if you put up a hut and it was a serious budka, you know, for security, right? You have a budka. So then that would be certainly muktzah even after it fell down, according to Rav Shimon. But we're talking about a sukkah ra'ur, a hut that was very flimsy and fell down. So whereas Rav Yehuda applies the principle of migu, Rav Shimon rejects migu, and therefore you're allowed to use the eitzim in the middle of Shavuos and do whatever you want.
Meaning, it's no surprise that it fell apart.
Correct, exactly. It could have been calculated scientifically or anticipated scientifically from the get-go.
But just according to Rav Shimon, aren't there things that become mutter unexpectedly? You seem to really want to say that it has to do with items that could have been predicted. So I'm just going to figure the point. And if it were totally unpredictable, let's say, but still became mutter again, was no longer hooked to the mitzvah.
Every case has to be judged unto itself. Well, but I would say, did you put it away in such a situation that you don't anticipate, and scientifically we don't anticipate that things are going to change?
So this is your indication of dachi b'yadayim, and that Rav Shimon does accept.
Correct. Dachi b'yadayim in the case of Ashishos, or in the case of a sukkah bria, where we don't anticipate that the isur of kibui will be removed, because we don't anticipate a wind coming and blowing, he has enough oil in there to last for a yovel. Or in the case of a sukkah, which we think will stand, you know, stand all the winds for not this Shavuos, but, you know, for a yovel of Shavuoses. In that case, even Rav Shimon would agree, if that something happens and it blows out the candle, or the hut falls apart, I'll huff and I'll puff. In such a case, even Rav Shimon would agree it's mukta. But that's not what we're discussing here.
So according to Rav Shimon, there's going to be a definite possibility that the item will be edible or usable before the end of Shabbat.
Correct. And then Rav Shimon would say, there's no
muktzah.
I already can calculate going into Yom Tov, going into Shabbos, that the situation is going to change based on all the factors that vary.
Those are all muktzah lechatzi Shabbat items, things that returned. Rav Shimon,
well, again, I don't want to use that term chatzi Shabbat. I mean, you're using it a little differently in the Chazal, in the Sugyan Beis, you use chatzi Shabbat, meaning it became mukta on Shabbos. You know, the Moz fell on top of the Shulchan on Shabbos.
We're talking about stopped being.
Exactly. You're talking about the other way around, where it was mukta for the first half of Shabbos, and we removed that mukta. So that is Rav Shimon Shita. We can remove that mukta. He doesn't accept migu. And if I can only convince myself that this was anticipated as a likelihood, I don't know what percentage, whether it's 30%, 20%, I don't know, then there's no mukta as soon as the situation changes. Okay, but then vishav. And here's where the punchline comes in. Because until now we've been talking about what? In this brisa? A hut.
Wood. You said
correct. I call it a hut. Meaning it's a sukkah that's not a sukkah of Yom Tov sukkah. It's not a mitzvah. But v'shavin b'sukkah sachak. Now we get to the case of the real sukkah, the way we call a sukkah. And that's on Yom Tov, on sukkah itself, b'chag. Shehi asura. Now, here's the rub. When it says shehi asura, it's the exact same isur that the Tanakama, who we identified as Rabbi Yehuda, said in the case of a hut. Do you follow my point? Rav Shimon in the Brisa is saying, I disagree with you in the case of a hut, but I agree with you in the case of a sukkah sachag b'chag. So whatever the Tanakama in the Reisha said about a sukkah shvuas, if you follow it, I mean a hut on shvuas, Rabbi Shimon says with regard to a hut on Sukkot. Which means the following, that what would be the deal, according to Rav Shimon, if midway through Chag HaSukkos, the sukkah would fall apart? Be mutter or asa?
Could be mutter.
No.
Asa, because it was done for a mitzvah. It was specified for a mitzvah.
Okay. Well, you're already giving the explanation, but I just wanted to prove to you mathematically why the conclusion is correct, that Rav Shimon would say it's asa to use the atzei sukkah on sukkahs even if the sukkah fell apart. How do I know that? Somebody's going to come along and say, Rabbi Berzon, you're making a big mistake. If it fell down, and it was a regular sukkah, re'uah, you know, it wasn't, he didn't put steel girders in it, then Rav Shimon would say he anticipated. The answer is, because Rav Shimon is saying about a sukkah sachag what the Tanakhama said about a sukkah shvuas, about a hut. And we say that according to the Tanakhama, as long as the hut of shvuas is standing, then for sure you're not allowed to take the eight. So that would be Melechus Sosa. But even after the sukkah fell down, we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Yehuda, Migulis Katzol, Ben Eshvos Katzol, Kuliyoma. Rabbi Shimon is going to agree in the case of Muktzel and Mitzvos. And why? As Ben says very well, because he designated going into sukkahs, this hut, as the sukkahs mitzvah. Once it's a sukkahs mitzvah, that designation is chal for the entire sukkahs. And this has nothing to do with Migul. This has to do with the halach of Huxel and Mitzvos. As a separate category.
But does that designation have to take place Erev Chag or Erev Shabbos?
I'm not sure. I think you're right. What would be if he built a sukkah on Chol HaMoed? That's a sugya in Masech, the sukkah b'chlal, whether you could build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Meaning, I'm not talking about Melechus sukkah, but you have to have a sukkah called Shiva. Well, I don't know the Maskotis of Sukkah. Really, I'm a little bit rusty on Masechta Sukkah. But I know there's a whole sugya of Masechta Sukkah about a sukkah that can only last for the last 3 days, meaning you built it on. I don't remember the Maskotis. But I don't want to get off on a tangent with that. All I'm trying to say is that Huktzel and Mitzvaso now takes on a personality of its own. It could be that in order to make it into Huktzel and Mitzvaso, you have to start an Erev Yontif. I don't know. That's Ben's question. It's an excellent question. But I'm just saying that we're not operating here with Migu. Reb Shimon rejects Migu, and yet, even after Sukkah falls down in the middle of Sukkahs, you're not allowed to use the Eitzim. Why? Because it was designated for the Mitzvah, and that takes me all the way until the eighth day, and including the eighth day of Sukkot.
So for Rav Shimon, he has a reason for din, which is not the Migu. He has a different reason for din. Why it's Asur?
Because the new category of Isur. It's called the Huktzel Mitzvos.
Right.
I'm almost jarred. I'm almost an objection to the fact that the Gemara calls this Muktzah. It's very confusing. You call it Muktzah, and all of a sudden, a whole bunch of things trigger off on my mind on the radar screen, and that's not true. On the computer screen,
now,
is that true?
It makes more sense to say Shimon Letle Muktzah. In his way, compared to Rabbi Yehuda.
Right, but I'm saying the Letle Muktzah is the Muktzah of Shabbos, the Muktzah of Yom Tov, the Muktzah of Shabbos, as opposed to Muktzah of Mitzvaso. Muktzah of Mitzvaso is a whole new category. New ball game. It operates with its own rules and regulations. So, right, the sukkah fell down in the middle of Sukkahs, and you're telling me that even Rav Shimon agrees I can't enjoy the benefit of the Eitzim. Why not? Huktzel mitzvos. That's the way Huktzel mitzvos works. It has a life on its own. So, Mimela, we go back to Rav Yochanan, and we say that obviously our understanding of Rav Yochanan is incorrect. We thought Rav Yochanan was saying that Huktzel mitzvos according to Rav Shimon is not Muktzel, so unless you add to it and piggyback to it Huktzel Isuro, and therefore Rav Shimon would reject Huktzel mitzvos on Chol HaMoed because there's no element of Isur involved. No! Huktzel mitzvos is a category unto its own, an independent category of Muktzel. I hate to use the word Muktzel, it's like a borrowed term. And it operates with its own rules and regulations, and Rav Shimon accepts it. And how do I know this? Because Rav Shimon is quoted as saying, "V'shavin b'sukkah sachag b'chag."
Rabbi Berzon?
Yeah?
Until now, I had suspicions about Rabbi Shimon that his way he was mako more had to do with food. And then the way we learned that chiluk, things that are consumed and you use them on Yom Tov and Shabbat, we're supposed to go along in the same category as food. And here, you have kind of an exception, because the wood could be consumed. It would be something that might be useful on your
right, throat. Right, you could feed
and
your fire.
Wasn't matirit.
Correct. Again, only because, don't get disappointed, because chutzah mitzvah is a new category. I only wish we could blot out the word, white out the word muktzah and call it something else. The proper term in Hebrew in Lashon Kodesh is chutzah mitzvah, means he's dedicated for the mitzvah. But again, it's a whole new category. The Gemara in Sukkah and Daf Tes derives from a pasuk, from Chagiga. The Chagiga is Lashem and you can't have Hanoah, so to a mitzvah like Sukkah is Lashem and you can't have any benefit from it. It's a whole new category. So now we can come to the conclusion that, and Rabbi Yochanan can't deny this, Rabbi Shimon agrees, Huktzel mitzvah so itself, independent of Huktzel Isuro, is Muktzel mitzvah so is Asur. And during Chol HaMoed, when there's no Huktzel Isuro, Rabbi Shimon will still insist that it's Huktzel mitzvah, so you can't benefit from the Eitzim in any way or shape. Oh. So now we got to go back to Rabbi Yochanan. So now let's understand what. This is the point that I want to deal with now. Okay, wait a second. Before we go on, so again, the next stage in our learning is to understand Rabbi Yochanan. What did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said "Chomer v'huktzel mitzvah, so huktzel isur"? But before we get to that, just that I don't forget, I wanted to point out footnote number Chaf Zayin, and he says the following. He says, "Ein." The Reb Shimon holds that even though entering into Shavuos, we're going back to the hut case, it was definitely muktzah li'isuro, in such a way that even Reb Shimon would agree, because you're not allowed to take apart the sukkah. But now the sukkah fell apart, and Reb Shimon says you're allowed to enjoy the benefit of the eitzah. Why? I was muktzah going into Shabbos. So lomar shasukah hayso reua me'erev yant ukfar me'erev yantif haya b'dayto. And again, I don't think he's doing a. As I mentioned a million and one times, this is not a psychoanalytic project here. But b'dayto means in the veldt, in the world. Shem tipo, and there's a good chance it'll fall. Yistapik meitzah, he'll use the eitz. She came sukkah, she ain't a ruah. But if he had a very healthy, strong sukkah, ain't bedaito klal. He's not at all anticipating the possibility that it would fall on yontif. Is Rav Shimon be moder that you're not allowed to, even if it falls, you're not allowed to be mishtamish beitzah. And he quotes the Gemara Liel about the case of Ashishis. So Rav Moshe, if I would ask you on a quiz question, under what circumstances would Rav Shimon agree that even if the Sivas HaMuktzah was removed midway through Shabbos, it still remains Muktzah? And you can't quote the halacha of Migu because Rav Shimon rejects Migu.
When it's totally unexpected.
Exactly. Excellent. When it's totally unexpected. Can you give me two examples?
Ashishas. It has large quantities of oil.
And number two?
Very strong sukkah.
Excellent. And very strong.
Robert, can I ask a question? It seems like there's a subtext of the term Gilui Das. Gilui Das is like, I do something. By my actions, I'm expressing what my motivation or my kavara is. Is that Gilui Das? Under the surface here, that maybe is Gilui Das maybe even a synonym for a Sefdat?
Yeah, I think so at this point. I don't know where you're taking me.
It seems like I'm hearing subtext Gilui Das all over the place. It's not mentioned, but it seems to be implied.
Yeah, I think in the Gemara's language it's called Dechia B'Yadayim. You call it Gilui Das. I think it's all one of the same.
Like
what do you say?
How do you translate Dechia B'Yadayim? It's like a...
Dechia B'Yadayim means he actively rejected it. He did something active to put it in a place where obviously he has no intention of using it.
I'm putting my grapes up on the roof, and even though Erev Shabbos are sweet, I know that they're going to go through a souring process and then come sweet again. Okay.
Or, for example, we spoke about the possibility of taking a garment and throwing it into the rubbish. Mm-hmm. We can speak about the possibility of Mukta Machmas Chisar and Kiss, which is one of the six categories we had in the Beis Yosef, where he has a very sensitive utensil, very expensive. It's got to be used precise, and not, you can't just play around with it. It's not a toy. It'll dull in the thing. And he locks it up in a place. Once he locks it up, that's called the Chiyuv Yadayim. You can call it Gili Das, whatever it is. That's called Hukta Biyadayim. Okay, now let's get back on track to Rabbi Yochanan. So what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said regarding Shemin Shebener, the Rav Shimon is Mode, is Hol V'Huktzel Mitzvah, so Huktzel Yisura. So the Gemara says, Ke'en Shemen Shebener. That which Rabbi Yochanan said, that Ein Isur Muktzel Rav Shimon El Shemen Shebener, Hol V'Huktzel Mitzvah, so Huktzel Yisura, he didn't mean to say that the Isur would be dependent upon the fact that it's also L'mitzvah and also L'isur, because we know now, we've proven conclusively that Rav Shimon would argue, would accept Muktzel L'mitzvah, so even without Muktzel L'isura. Like, for example, the case of Chol HaMoed. Or the case of a Sukkah on Sukkahs which fell down in the middle of Sukkah, so there's no longer an Isur of Soser. So the answer is Ke'en Shemen Shebener Ka'amrino. What does that mean? Ke'en Shemen Shebener? So we're talking about the termination of Muktzah. Hoil V'Huktzah Mitzvaso Huktzah Lisur. Meaning that even though Rabbi Shimon accepts Huktzel li'isuro, however, Huktzel li'isuro only applies when it's Huktzel mitzvah. Now, first of all, let me describe what that means in Metzius, and then we have to understand conceptually what it means. In Metzius, what it means is that as long as this nair is dolek, then it's Huktzel mitzvah. That nair is a nair shel Shabbos, a nair shel mitzvah. Once it's kavui, it's no longer nair shel mitzvah, and therefore there's no longer Muktzel Yisur. But what I don't understand is conceptually, why does Rabbi Yochanan have to, you know, like, to scratch his left ear around his head? I mean, why can't he just use his left hand? I mean, why don't you just tell me the following? It's Huktzel Yisur, according to Rav Shimon, as long as it's Huktzel Yisur. But what's the Yisur? The Yisur is Kibui. The Yisur is to be Mechabit. But now the Nair is extinguished. There's no Yisur Kibui. Why does he have to introduce here the Huktzel Mitzvah? That I don't understand. This,
I may be way out in left field, but just like Binyan and Soter are opposites, so too, like, it's not Asur unless it, as one point it was a mitzvah, as opposed to a category that's always Asur. Like,
one second, man. But then, you know what? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm distracted. Give me 1 minute to clear my brain, and then I'll, because I'm not focused on what you're saying. It's Chinese to me. Does Rashi say anything? And then Ben, I want to hear what you have to say, but I got to get to the point where my brain is a little bit clear from this whole thing. I don't see any Rashi. Can somebody help me and find Rashi? I'm just going to read to you the translation here of the Masifta. He writes, Hoel v'shemen shebener huktzel mitzvosu l'mitzvos ner Shabbos azai hu huktzel rak l'isuro. Hainu rak l'zman shaner osur b'kibu shkein b'ner shal Shabbos kishetam zman ha'isur da'ik shaner nichpo is toma af mitzvosu. In Kibuyov Nistaimu Taima Kiyuma Lemitzvos Lachmikan Mutal Italti. Yeah, what did he say? Benayam lost it. Just drawing a blank.
I'm just seeing, just like this quote unquote a partnership between Bona and Soter. So there's a partnership between something that was at one point a mitzvah and then afterwards became an Easter. Like there. Easter doesn't. The whole idea of Easter is not in a vacuum. It's only something that used to be designated for a mitzvah. Now it's an Easter. So I don't.
Again,
know. I need to formulate that better.
The moment that we entered into Shabbos, two things happen. Number one, this becomes a Ner Shabbos. That's what I call Huktzel Mitzvah. Number two, you're not allowed to take any of the Shemen because it's an Easter Kibbu. So those two things, you know, happen
right.
Simultaneously. The Ner is an overlap of two different categories of muktzah. It's muktzah mitzvah and it's muktzah isuro. Now, Rabbi Yochanan wants to suggest that at some point that muktzah, which I don't know which muktzah of the two, it terminates. So, if I read Rabbi Yochanan correctly, the way we're saying it is that whole muktzah mitzvah, meaning as long as you have the muktzah mitzvah, which means as long as the Ner is Dolik and it's a Ner Mitzvah, Huktzel Isuro, once it's no longer Huktzel Mitzvah, so after it goes out, then it's no longer Huktzel Isuro. But if that's correct, if that's what Rabbi Yochanan is telling me, why does Rabbi Yochanan complicate matters? Why didn't you say that just like the mitzvah is gone when the candle goes out, the Easter is also gone when the candle goes out. There's no longer a possibility of kibbu. So as long as the Ner is also the kibbu, it's Huktzel Isuro. But after Kavah Ner, if it goes out, it's no longer also the kibbu, it's already Kavah, and therefore it's no longer Huktzel Isuro. But why does he have to introduce the fact that it's no longer Ner Mitzvah because it went out? What does that embellish? How does that shed a light on my understanding of why Rav Shimon allows you to enjoy the benefits of this Shemen after its kava? You're right that the Kiyum HaMitzvah is gone, and if it's no longer Huktzel Mitzvah, so. But what's the Hoil? You know, Hoil means that I build one, or I derive one halacha from another. Hoil, the Huktzel Mitzvah, so Huktzel Isura. Do we have, what's his name? Don is not here today. Neither is David. So do we have access to the English Gemara, the Art Scroll? Let's just take a second. I'm just going to shut this off. So the Gemara says, Itmar Nami, Om Rab Chiyo Bar Ab, Om Rab Yochanan, Ein Muktzal Rab Yishimon, Ala Ke'ein, Shemen Shem B'ner, B'shal Shudolik, Hol V'Huktzal Mitzvaso, Huktzal Yisura. And since the Shemen was designated for a mitzvah, maybe we can close that door for another minute, for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. Therefore, it's muktzah only as long as the Ner is osur b'kibui. Because after the Ner is kava, the mitzvah is gone. And once the mitzvah is gone, it's mutl taltal because what? Because it's no longer muktzah machmas isura. So why do you make this dependent, interdependent? I don't understand the interdependence. Hoel, the word hoel always means interdependence. What do I need interdependence for? It's if muktzah machmas isura is only as long as it's lit.
But it's lit specifically for a mitzvah. There's this overlap. The complication is an overlap.
What do you mean, Ben?
Meaning the overlap of... Also, I'm just...
There is a coincidental overlap, I agree. It's also hooked to the mitzvah as long as it's lit. It's also hooked to the isuro as long as it's lit, because it's also the kibud. And both of those isuri mukta, each through its own mechanism, will terminate when the candle is extinguished. But what's the hoel? Hoel comes along and says that there's an interrelationship here, an interdependence between the two. Leave out the word hoel. What was Rabbi Yochanan trying? And it's even more baffling, because Rabbi Yochanan is trying to answer Reish Lakish's question. What would Rabbi Shimon say about chitim and beitza? And the answer is that there's no element of Isur that's immediate. Or the Ritva says down the line it'll become Osur, but right now it's not Osur. So there's no Muktzal Isura. But why introduce Muktzal Mitzvasa? Unless, again, this is very disappointing to me, what I'm about to say, that the word Hoel here doesn't mean what it always means. Hoel means like V'chein or K'mochein. Kmo shehuktzel mitzvah will terminate after the extinguishing of the candle, because it's no longer near mitzvah, right? So too, huktzel isuro will terminate when it's extinguished, because it's no longer an isur. But it's not a hoel in a conceptual interdependence. It's just a hoel that shows you how both these isuri mukta, which both overlap in the case of a ner dolek, both terminate with the extinguishing of the candle. That's the best I can do here. I'm not telling you I'm happy about it. Now let's go back to the case of a sukkah that fell in the middle of sukkahs. There we said it took some mitzvah for the entire yontif. The reason for that is because when you build a sukkah, that sukkah is for the entire yontif. Not so in the case of ner. The ner is only limitzvah as long as it's dolek. Once it's nichbeh, so we know that going into the, up front, coming into the mitzvah of ner Shabbos, ner yontif, it's only a ner as for that period of time, for an hour or 2 hours, however long it takes till it goes out. But not so in the case of sukkah. Barring any unforeseen circumstances, the sukkah will last all of yontif, all of sukkahs, and therefore shoven besukkahs achag b'chag shiasura afilu im nafla.
But if it's nichbeh, is there not a machloket whether or not you can use the oil?
Well, there's no machlokes between anyone who's on Reb Shimon's camp. You're right, Reb Yehuda holds migu diskatzol ben hashmash diskatzol kuliyom. So then the last thing that we did was Amrav Yudom Rashmuel, Ein Muktzel Rav Shimon El Grogus Vitzimukim Bilvad. And it means that it almost immediately after he puts them up on the roof, they become spoiled, so to speak. I mean, obviously a temporary spoilage. And therefore, he puts it out of his mind. Now we have the question that David said that later on, when it becomes Roy Lachiwa, then it's no longer Muktzel. So let me just take a look here at footnote number Lamed Dalet. In the second paragraph, he says, "Bizman shagrogus etzimukim enam reuyim, bivadai osel etaltalam shekem dinam kavonim viofar shosel etaltam shumov v'chidsha gemarakan shosel etaltal afil liachar shesyavshu." This is not what David was saying yesterday. So I'm not sure. I can't speak on behalf of David. He's not here today, so I don't know what he would say if he was sitting here. Where did he get this from? But at least here, he quotes the Sfas Emes and other Tshuvas that say that according to Reb Shimon, it's Osel Taltal Afil Yachashin Es Yavshu, Im Heim Es Yavshu B'Emtza Shabbos, which again, I'm assuming that the physics here is that it takes a long time for it to dry, and this prematurely dried. And it wasn't anticipated as such. V'chein Shem Asur Mafil Kodim Shin is Kalkalu. Okay, that I can accept. Kevin Shin Darkum should take a Fliakan Asin and Begag Hem Mim Asin. Then he has a Gavaldig Chiddush in the Chazon Ish, which I wish you could make a note of on the side, right? Please come back to this at some point. I don't know when, but the Chazon Ish says if he mistakenly thought, this is what I call Muktzeh B'Toz, that the Grogos V'Tzimukim are not yet edible going into Shabbos, when in fact, in truth, they were edible, then it becomes muktzah. That's a pella in this Chazon Ish. That has to really be This is what I call books of the toes, but that's not for us now. That's a whole new ball game. So again, you know, when David comes back to us, if somebody could just point out this footnote to him, that apparently there's a whole group of Achronim who insist that according to Rav Shimon, even if the Grogos V'Tzimu can become Misyabshim, you know, in the middle of Shabbos, you can't enjoy them. Because Moda Rav Shimon, the Grogos V'Tzimukim means all the laws now kick in. The regular laws of books are going to kick in the case of Grogos V'Tzimukim. The Gemara asks Akashu, Midi Achrini Lo? Are you telling me that only these two fruits, which are called Te'enim V'Anovim, that's figs and grapes, they become very spoiled? They're Mukts, according to Rav Shimon, but other fruits that don't spoil and they simply dry up in the sun, but they never go through that middle stage of being sour, that Rav Shimon would allow. For Tanya, we have a brisa, Ochel b'te'enim, he was eating figs. For Hosen, he had some extra figs. So what did he do with the extra figs? Hell on Lagag, Lassus Mem Grogros. He wanted to make it into dried figs. So he brought it, put it up on the roof. Anovim, also he was eating grapes, and he had leftover grapes. So what do you do with leftover grapes? No one wants to eat the leftovers, and certainly if you keep them around long enough, they'll spoil completely. So what does he do to cut his losses? Helon Lagag Lassim Tzimukim. He's lo yochel, he's not allowed to eat them on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to prove that this is Reb Shimon. Achi Yasmin, unless Erev Shabbos, he specifically designated that, you know, explicitly that he would eat them. And then it says, "V'cheinat ha'omer b'farsukim v'chavushim v'shar kol minei peros." That's the key line for our purposes. That the Brisa says this is true with regard to all fruits. That any fruit that you put up on the gag in order to make them into dried fruits is mukta, even though it never goes through that transitionary stage, transitional stage where it's sour. So how could that be? Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, says only Grogos Tzimukim. This price is applying it even to Afarsikim Chavushim Chol Minei Peros Mani. Elam, if you're going to argue, Rabbi Yehuda, that the author of this price is Rabbi Yehuda, Ma Hecha Delo Dachi B'Yadayim. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't even require Dachi B'Yadayim. Rabbi Yehuda says that unless you have Das to eat something, it's not Mukhan and it's Mukta. Is Islay Rabbi Yehuda accepts Mukta? Is Heichad Dachi V'Dayim Lo Kolshkein? So if Rabbi Yehuda is indeed the author of this price, so why does he have to mention the case where he placed them up on the roof? Forget about placing them up on the roof. Even if he puts it on the side and he's going to market them for export, he designates them for export, it's Mukta. El Olah, by process of elimination, Rabbi Shimoni. And here we see that even in Shar Peros, which don't go through this middle transitional stage of being sour, nevertheless they become Mukta. And that's against Shmuel, because Shmuel says that Mukta, Rav Shimon is Dafka, those Peros that are miskalkalin, that get ruined, namely Grogos V'Tzimukim, Li'olam, Rav Yehuda. The Brice is really authored by Rav Yehuda. Aye, if this be the case, why does he need Dachyo B'Yadayim here, that he put it up on the roof? And the answer is Ochel Itztrichle. He wants to tell you this chiddush, even though he's eating at his table, he's eating dates, he's eating grapes, and therefore when he puts them up on the roof, he has in mind that he'll continue eating them if need be, because he's in the process of eating. In Salkadak, I mean, I might think came into Ochel V'Azil. He goes ahead and he keeps eating the fruits. So that means that he's indicating that he wants to eat it at any time. And therefore, even if he puts it up on the roof, lowly boy Hasman, he doesn't have to go ahead and say, well, in case I need these grapes, then I'm going to leave them up on the roof, but if I need them, I'm going to take them. Kamash Malon, Kamen Shehelem Lagag, Asuche Asche Adaite Mineir. Once he puts them on the roof, it's Hesech Hadas, even though he was in the process of eating them. But if, on the other hand, he prepares something for an Otsar, then Rabbi Yehuda says, if he was eating them of that species, of that min, before he put it away, you know, in storage, then it's not Muksa. Rabbi Shimon would argue against this price, so And he would say that it's only also in Paris miskalkal in Bulvad, which is Grogros Vitzimuk. So if somebody could make a note of it, we're up to Boy Mine Rabbi Shimon, the last line here on Memhei Omen Aleph. What I might want to do on Sunday is just review the last shtickle, because I was a little bit pressed for time here. I realized how late it was. And I want to wish everyone a great Shabbos. Okay, then?
Right.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you very much.